Good morning and Om Shanti. It was beautiful to see some of you dancing earlier. Beginning the day with joy is a great way to begin. And it indicates that you've become very light and easy. I don't know how many of you would have danced if you were back at your own places. So it just shows you what's happened in the last week. So, today we're looking at the subject of the inner powers of the soul. I think all traditions remember God as being the almighty authority. There's some sort of terminology that puts across this idea that the one above is the one who's most powerful, and then the related idea would be that he can do anything. And what we've understood here is that that's not quite how it is. For example, changing a situation from rain to sun, I don't think it's God who's provided us the sunshine today. I think it's the cycles of nature that carry on. Or someone who's dead suddenly comes alive. Again, I don't think that's God's task. God's task is one of purification of the soul, sharing with us truth, wisdom, and giving us the power to be able to make the transformation that we need to make. One of the things that's happening in today's world is a huge number of chemicals. I think it might have been about 8 to 10 years ago that there was a meeting in Brussels at the European Parliament, and observers were invited to come to that. And it was a state of the world forum that had worked with the European Parliament to make this happen. And they had people from the chemical industry, and they had the MPs, and they had a representative, the senior scientist from the World Wildlife Fund. And she said, "Do you realize what these chemicals are doing to us?" And the people from the chemical industry, of course, weren't wanting her to share this information. But at that time, she shared that every single organism, right from the fishes in the Arctic and the birds that fly across all barriers and human beings, every single organism under the sun has at least 500 extra chemicals that they don't need, that are not supposed to be there in their natural state. And why I was remembering that is because one of the things she said, we just don't know exactly how much havoc is being caused by these chemicals. In certain mammals, we see that the reproductive system has been damaged, and so you have strange mutants being born. She had that research information. She said, in humans, have you noticed that our lack of tolerance seems to be continually growing? And so I was thinking that one of the big things of today's world is lack of tolerance. And meditation can't reverse the chemical story. That will be when it's time for the world to have a majority of people thinking like us and are ready to change things drastically. But one of the powers that we develop internally is actually the power of tolerance. The other thing she mentioned, and I tell you by the way, one other thing that everybody's known for a long time now, the immune system has been very compromised. All creatures, but especially human beings, by all these chemicals. The third thing, it's not my age that's making my memory worse than it used to be. It's these chemicals. You can blame it all on these chemicals. But yes, memory impairment, that's these chemicals. Judy mentioned concentration capacity. Have you complained about lack of concentration in the young generation today? You probably have. But also in adults, you know, MTV some years ago decided that instead of having every image changing between 20 seconds to 15 seconds, and when TV had started way back, it used to be 50 seconds. An image could stay on the screen 50 seconds, then it became 15 to 20 seconds, and then this edict sent out from MTV to all the producers was, no image should last on the screen for longer than 1 second. Why? People's concentration capacity doesn't exist. And if you keep the same image on the screen for longer than a second, they're going to flick the channel and go on to something else. So the conditions of the world today are such that it's not just a lot of negativity on an inner level and violence being the cry of the day, but there's also a lot that's happening in terms of what we have done to the environment that's now coming back to us. I've just mentioned some of these aspects. If anybody wants to go into the whole detail of what these chemicals are doing in terms of our home, our ecosystem, you can do that. But I specifically wanted to talk about tolerance and our capacity to be able to tolerate, which is drastically reduced. So, given the world as it is, what do I need to do? I can say, well, what can I do? There's nothing I can do about it. Or I can say, well, maybe meditation can help me. And I know that some people practice meditation for relaxation, some people practice meditation to be able to have a clearer mind, different things. But all of that is true. But meditation is very specifically my connection with the Divine, the Almighty Authority, to be able to draw that power which is available within my own inner world. And I'll be able to see the impact of these spiritual powers in my life day to day in all the things that I'm doing. So there's a sequence to the development of these powers that I find interesting. And so the very first power that we develop, the capacity to be able to go inside. Most people out there don't even realize that this is something they can do or that they need to do. And here, of course, you've been experimenting, experiencing that even within a moment, if you turn your attention inwards, you're able to connect with your own inner state of peace, of truth, of love. Have you found that? Some, yes, some still on the way, which is fine. But it's a gift to take away from here, a very simple gift. Be here, especially when things are very stressful outside. Just be here and just go inwards. And it takes a moment, but you'll find that space inside in which you discover quiet space, peace, and truth within your own being. Really, keep practicing this and you'll feel it's a beautiful gift you're carrying away from here. So to be able to turn inwards, we have an interesting image that we use for this. Think about a turtle, a tortoise. Outside, the hard shell, and inside, the little creature. And the creature comes out, does what it needs to do, and then goes back inside the shell. And whatever is going on outside, when the turtle has gone in, the wind, the rain, the storm, nothing can impact it. And so the stress and the chaos and all the things that are going on in this crazy world are happening out there. But I just need to learn this trick of going back in here and coming to that point of energy, point of light, point of life that I am. And I'll be safe from all the storms and typhoons going on outside. And the second thing, going back inside, I learned that I have an interesting capacity, and I developed this capacity, and that is the power to pack up, not just externally. You know how long it takes some people to pack up. It'll be forever. And you're still not quite managing the 20 kilo or 23 kilo limit. And so then they're carrying all these bags and packages and trying to maneuver all of this. And it's a bit challenging for them and for others. Because you see them and they're struggling. You say, what can I do to help them? But to be able to pack up externally, and to be able to decide what is it that's useful, what is not useful. So the things that I don't need, I discard. Things that are useful, I pack and keep them with me. But think about it in terms of events and situations. Something's happened and it's causing me a lot of pain and stress, a lot of sorrow. Is it possible for me to say, what did I learn from this? Is there a silver lining to this cloud? Not in a year's time or 5 years' time. Very often something happens and many years later you realize that, yes, that situation actually helped you move forward, even though it was painful at the time. But can I reduce that time lag between the incident and my realization from 5 years, no, 5 days, no, 5 hours, no? Because all of that is very precious time that I've lost. A lot of energy that I've expended in sorrow. But can I, as things unfold, can I look at the situation and say, what am I learning? What has this come to teach me? How can it possibly carry me forward? And take that with you and keep it. And the rest, you throw away, you discard. So you're carrying with yourself the lessons learned and the benefit experienced, but you're not carrying all the rest of that baggage that's creating sorrow and is creating upheaval in my feelings and my emotions. And at the moment, the world is as it is. So people are as they are. Can I change someone? Have you tried changing anyone? Your partner? Your colleagues? Your children? It's impossible, isn't it? But what I can do is change myself. And that means let me change my perception, my attitude. That I can do. That's within my capacity. So to take power from above and be able to use this capacity to take what is needed, to pack it up and keep it with me and discard the rest. My thoughts. Am I able to pack up my thoughts in a second? One moment you're dancing, the next moment you're sitting in silence. I heard Judy's question. I didn't see the answer because I was sitting there, so I don't know how many of you responded that yes, you were able to go into silence immediately. But that's the power to pack up. I can make that switch from out there to in here within a moment with one thought. The next one that we usually talk about is the power of tolerance. Again, a very interesting image that we use to describe this. A young child throwing stones at a tree. And what happens? The tree actually gives its fruits. Nobody uses a stone to throw at a tree just like that. But they've seen this beautiful mango or this beautiful apple that's dangling. And so, and the tree doesn't give you back the stone, it gives you the fruits. And so to be able to develop my tolerance capacity to that extent, where whatever is coming at me, I can be like the tree, carrying the sweet fruits and be sharing those, giving those. And you say, that's impossible. And I'll say, well, I've seen it happen. I've seen yogis who have been able to develop this capacity. The head of our organization was, not Daddy Janki, but another one, the one before. She was with us in a meeting and we were discussing things of service abroad. And one person got quite agitated. They weren't understanding what we wanted to do. At that time, there was quite a culture gap between how they do things here and how we do things out there. So it was very challenging for them. And they vented, saying many things. And this lady, she might have been in her 60s at that time, late 50s, early 60s. She was chairing the meeting. So it was a bit like a culture war. In words, nothing else, but ideas, context. And she heard them out and she said, okay, we've heard both sides, we need time to reflect and we'll come back and make a decision later. She went on to the next item on the agenda. And would you believe it? She asks the same person who had been so negative to start by sharing their thoughts. And they did. But venting had happened, so now they were reasonable. And I think she wanted to give them an opportunity to show their peaceful side again, their reasonable side. But I was thinking at that time, if I'd had to face a situation like that, would I have had the tolerance capacity and the courage to go back to that same individual and ask them for their comments? I know I wouldn't. I'd definitely have asked somebody else. And then they could have shared, of course, but I wouldn't have started with them. And her capacity. Yes, she was able to invite them. So the power of tolerance. Connected very closely to that is the power to be able to accommodate. And sometimes people say that, well, isn't it the same thing? Well, I'll share with you the image we use and then you can see. Think about many rivers flowing into the ocean. And the ocean doesn't reject any of the rivers, little, big, dirty, not so clean. It's clean maybe, but whatever. It's just able to accommodate them. It's able to have the capacity to accept everything and just merge things within the self. Is my heart big enough not just to be able to tolerate, but accept a variety of opinions? Every human being has 10 different opinions. Morning it's one thing, later it's another, afternoon is shifted, early evening it's something else, night it's something else. So we're not stable with our opinions, that's for sure. But also, it's not just me that somebody's having to deal with. It's 5 people, 50 people, 100 people, many people. And to be able to have a heart that's open enough, generous enough, big enough to accommodate everyone's thoughts and feelings and opinions and be able to maintain stability without reacting. You can see that in today's world especially, tolerance, the capacity to accommodate, to merge, they're gone, very much gone. And then we say, well, how come there's no peace in the world? Well, I need to develop this power within myself, even to be able to maintain my own inner peace. If I'm in a state of upheaval because of different opinions and different behavior, I'm not peaceful myself. I can't be an instrument to allow that peace to happen in the world. Another power, the power to discern. Very challenging. The mask outside is so artificial. Everything seems to be artificial. Nothing is natural and real anymore. Just check the food packets and see what has been put in. And so that which is natural, not just in terms of food, but in terms of human beings, to be able to pierce through all the layers and actually get to the truth of what the individual is about. Not so easy. And that's the state we find ourselves in. The image that we have again is interesting. A diamond merchant with an eyeglass. And it appears to be a real stone, but the eyeglass is telling the jeweler whether it is or it isn't. And so my third eye open, without any shadows of my own past perceptions or my own inner feelings or likes and dislikes. When the third eye is open, they talk about the eye of wisdom. And so that's what it is. When I approach things from a spiritual perspective, with the third eye wide open, I'm going to have a greater capacity to be able to see what is the essence of truth here and what is all the packaging that really is not needed. And maybe it's just packaging, maybe it's not a conscious thought of actually being false. But whether it's for the self and discovering the truth within and allowing the falsehood to melt and dissolve away, or whether it's in terms of others or a situation, am I able to get to the heart of something and have clarity? And so the power to discern without anything getting in the way. And if my discernment capacity is as it should be, and most times today it's not, this is why then of course we make decisions and a little while later we'll say, but you know, I didn't realize this and this and this and this. If only I'd known, my decision would have been quite different. How often have you thought that or said that? And so again, very practical experience in terms of the world today. When I can discern clearly, then the next step, I can make a decision that's going to stand me in good stead, not just for now and tomorrow, but maybe many years later. People today say that where there used to be scenarios that would be planned for 5 years ahead, is there anyone whose company plans 5 year plans, scenarios for 5 years? I doubt it. 6 months? Even 6 months is challenging. And so how can I decide? Everything is so changeable. Everything is up and down. Things are turning around all the time. But yes, the third eye open, and I've seen the essence of what's going on. And I'm then able to take a decision on the basis of that. And again, a very interesting image. The image of the old-fashioned scales. You know, when you had the scales and two pans and you had to check that the center point was straight and you put in the weight on one side and the object on the other side and you would get a reading for whether it's the cheese or the sugar or the whatever it may be, or the diamond even. They don't do that anymore, do they? They've got all these electronic things and you just put it on and you're able to know. But that pair of scales, to be able to weigh up pros and cons depending on my discernment capacity and then take a decision. The most important part of all of this is not how much weight you're putting on one side and the object on the other side. The critical factor is the center point, the pointer, which is actually then going to tell you what the weight is exactly. And then you know what you're buying. If my awareness is connected with the soul, what you've described as, you've heard being described as soul consciousness, in that state of soul consciousness, it's not ego that that's pulling me in one direction or the other. It's not my greed that's pulling in different ways. And it's not my attachment that's pulling. Think about very important decisions being made by leaders. Just cast your eye around the world and you'll be able to see that decision-making capacity is highly impaired. Do you agree? Nobody's agreeing? Some of you are agreeing. But this is why. It's their ego that's pushing them into a decision, or it's their favorites they want to support, their attachments that are pushing them, or it's their greed. And that's absolutely rampant across the world, everywhere. And you discover the information afterwards, of course. But if you've got spiritual insight, you can see it as it's unfolding. What on earth is going on this planet of ours? What is the caliber of the leaders? And they always say you get the leaders you deserve. I believe that. So, a crazy world. But people with their finger on very important buttons, including the survival of the planet, and their decisions are not something that we feel comfortable with, or actually that we want to support on any level. So, for my personal life, and my professional life, or even the decisions that I'm making for my immediate family. Going inside and coming to this awareness of the soul and dropping the ego, the attachment, the greed, etc., anger. Have you seen how if you're really angry and you made a decision, was that a good decision? No. Cool it. Stay calm and then look at the situation again. And your decision will be quite different. And the decision of one impacts so many others. So let me be able to do that. Let me be soul conscious, see what's going on, and then take a decision in soul consciousness. And I'll be able to see that if this is what I was saying earlier, this is where my ego was speaking, not the soul. You'll be able to check it out for yourself. You can see how all of these things are things that we need in our lives here and now. And unfortunately, you can't get them out of a magic box or taking a pill. It needs silence, meditation, reflection, understanding, and not just meditation once a week. Meditation every day, but also not just every day. Morning and evening, yes, but also taking a moment to pause and connecting with yourself whenever you can through the day. The next power, the power to be able to face. And there's an opposite here. On one side, the power of tolerance, and on the other side, the power to face and actually stand up and say, this is wrong, this is not right. when do I decide which power to use? And one way to be able to decide, what is for the higher good? On one side, if I tolerate something, is it serving a purpose, the higher good? If I stand up and oppose, is it just my own passion? Sometimes maybe. Is it just my own anger? Or is it serving the higher good? And the second criteria to think about, is it a question of preference? Is this just my preference? I want to eat pizza and you want to have a meal of light calories. So maybe one day we can have the pizza and the next day we can have a salad. There's no point in fighting about it. Not one is right and the other is wrong. It's okay. And so, when am I using my capacity to be able to face something and challenge something? And if it's for the higher good, and yes, if it's going to be a principle, not just a preference, but a principle, then let me follow that path. Let me follow the path of standing up for my principles. And even then it might not always be instantly clear, but certainly these two factors are a good guideline to think about. When there's falsehood, injustice, even in that, not so easy to say, right, let me fight it and oppose it. Maybe it's temporary, and maybe it doesn't serve the higher good if I say I'm going to fight it. Maybe I just need to have a little bit of patience, a bit more tolerance, and the higher good will be served through that. So, difficult things to deal with, but very much my capacity is enhanced through the connection with the Almighty, drawing that power within myself. Another power, the power to cooperate. If it's a little task, I can do it on my own. I don't need anyone else. If it's a big task, can I say I'm going to do it on my own? Unlikely. And if it is a big task and I want to get results, then I very quickly learn it has to be with cooperation. And I think more and more now in the world out there, we know that pyramid structures aren't the best. Having a flatter situation in which we have teams are more likely to be able to achieve their purpose. And the thing that gets in the way of teams, I'm not telling you anything new, you know it already, is ego. I want to be able to show that I have done this and not the others in the team. Well, I'll quickly run into trouble. Or I want my voice to be heard and not that of others for whatever reason. Again, it doesn't work in today's world. That's what I've seen. But if I can see the speciality of each one, and that's what it needs. You can see at the heart of each one of these powers is, firstly, soul consciousness. Coming back to the awareness of the inner being. and then connecting. But first step is always go inside. And when I go inside and then I look at everyone, I'm able to see the goodness, the speciality that exists in every single person. They may have a dozen faults, and yes, if I choose to see those, I'll get stuck. My own mind is filled with negativity. Even if they have just one aspect that is good, it helps me and it helps them if I learn to focus on that, and they then contribute that one speciality within the team. And probably that journey of coming into cooperation with others because there's an atmosphere of respect is something that is going to help them deal with the other 10 qualities that are not so good. They'll be encouraged to go on the inner journey and make the changes that they need to make. So if we're thinking about changing the world, it's not going to be through competition. People today say competition is healthy, but I don't think so. Competition says one is better than everyone else. And the lesson of spirituality is that this one has something, this one has something, this one has something, this one has something, this one has something. And each one is precious and valuable and can contribute with that. And if I don't have this understanding, then it is competition. But we're actually killing our energy with competition. And we're not allowing the best that could happen, happen in the way that it could. But everyone giving of their best in that atmosphere in which there's respect and regard, then yes, amazing things can happen. So a very, very important quality to think about, power to think about. And the power that I'm drawing from above is such that it changes me, and I learn to look for the goodness, see the goodness, and keep my vision focused on that, and not be affected by everything else. And then, yes, cooperation will make impossible things happen in a beautiful way. A handful of people competing with each other, what do you achieve? Not very much. A handful of people cooperating together, and the energy multiplies. Amazing things can happen. So the power of cooperation is the power that's going to be able to help us create a beautiful world. The image that we show for this is of a mountain, and the mountain being lifted by everyone giving their little finger. A little bit of contribution, a tiny bit of contribution, and cooperation from all. Everyone just giving that little bit. And the result, the mountain is lifted. Can you imagine lifting a mountain on your own? But everyone giving their cooperation at the same time, all together. And even mountains can be lifted. And so surely the darkness of the world can be eliminated, and we can bring in a world of light. Conflict, because those are the choices that are open to us. Competition, conflict, or cooperation. Conflict, and it does no one any good. Somebody showed me a statistic the other day And they'd taken this photograph at the UN, and this would have been sometime last year. And so they had it on their iPad. And I couldn't even read what the figure meant because it's so complicated. But they told me that what it meant was 3 trillion and 4 something. And this was the amount of dollars that is being spent on warfare during this time of peace. Judge for yourself. 1 trillion. Not even 1 million or 1 billion, but 1 trillion. It's crazy, isn't it? Okay, let's pause and share peace with the warmongers.
All my sorrows died away.
So conflict is destructive. Competition doesn't bring the results we would want. And it's cooperation that's going to allow us to create a better world together. And so I can experiment with that in my own little world and then see how it's going to impact the whole world. A way to practice these things is, for example, if you know that today you're going to be meeting a person who's quite challenging for you, or you're going to be in a situation that's not so comfortable, early morning in your meditation, take the power that you need specifically for that day. And you'll see it makes such a huge difference. You'll be able to literally do that in a day, just in your one meditation. But of course, every time you meditate, that power is reaching you and is creating more and more inner resilience and strength for you to be able to carry on in life without being shaken by all the things that are going on. And so the spiritual powers are a very practical thing that we can experiment with and see how far we've come. We know ourselves, we know how we would have reacted last month, last week, before you came here. And in the week that you've been here, has changed. You'll see it in you. But also you can very consciously make effort to be able to develop something that you know is not your forte. And so explore it. What is it that I really need most of all? And it's available. Take it from above and fill yourself with it. And the more you use these things in your life, the more it becomes a pattern that you're creating. And so it becomes easier and easier. That story of imprints that we carry within ourselves, and you don't use those imprints, then out of disuse, you lose them. They go. They fade away. But you keep using them, and they get stronger and stronger. So that's been the story with negativity so far. But now, a very conscious way in which we can start using these powers. And I use it once, I see the effect. It's a good incentive to use it again, and again, and again. And you begin to see a vast difference in you and your responses to people and things. But also it's visible. Others will be able to notice. You're able to keep smiling no matter what's going on around you. And so they'll ask you, well, you're facing the same situation as you. How come you're smiling and I'm not? And so it's a great way to advertise Rajayoga. It's a great way to help others, to make them understand that they can access that same power. And it's not that because 10 people are accessing that power, that energy is going to run dry. No. There's enough and more than enough, the almighty authority, an abundance of not just all the different positive qualities, but abundance of that power that can make a difference to my life and to the world. So carry away the trick to be able to capture that power and use it in yourself. And it's not that if I use tolerance today, it's going to reduce me, and tomorrow I'll have less tolerance. It's the other way. My tolerance will increase and increase and increase, and I'll be able to see it in that way. So have fun, enjoy your journey. And they always say that it's not just the destination. The destination is important, but the journey is equally important, because it's the journey that actually creates the the destination. So if I walk the path of peace, I'll reach the destination of peace. If I'm not walking the path of peace, it's not possible to think about a world of peace. So enjoy the journey and see the destination ahead of you very clearly. Om Shanti. Let's have a few minutes of silence again. And this time, go in, go up, and draw that power and use it today and every other single day. Going on that inner journey, I come to the awareness of the shining star that I am, a being of light. And in this awareness, my thoughts go up above to the divine, the supreme being, the source of all attributes. The almighty authority. I focus on the supreme, the almighty. From the Almighty, I draw strength, I draw power, and I fill myself with this inner strength. I can feel the power of the soul increasing. The power to be peaceful. The power to be loving. The power to be just. Having drawn this power within myself, I join my parent in being able to share the power of love, power of peace from the Almighty spreads out into the world. The power of love touches human hearts and they melt and become warm. Power of purity reaches out, touching not only human souls, but nature. Holding my connection with the Almighty, I come back into the consciousness of the moment here and now, carrying inner power and experiencing the peace, the love, and the truth.